Hey, Dreamers. My first book, Joe Pardo's 31 Life-Changing Concepts, just came out. It's a self-development book designed for people who hate reading books. I filled it with lots of my own hand-drawn artwork. In order to make this launch a success, I need your help. Please go to howtodream.co/book. Thank you for all your support, and I hope you have a magical day.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey, Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Logan Guloff. I nailed it, right?
Guloff.
Guloff. God, so bad at it. So bad at names.
Yeah.
who is making his dreams come true by winning MasterChef Junior Season 2 and helping to inspire kids all around the world to pursue cooking. Glad to have you on the show, Logan.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm really glad that you were able to take the time to come on. I mean, you've done some really huge things. I see you even got to meet President Obama.
Yeah. Though I've had a bunch of cooking experiences. They're all really great. I started with the Jif Most Creative Peanut Butter Sandwich Contest, and that was really fun. Won a free trip to New York and some money. And then I got to go to the White House and meet the Obamas, and that was really good. And then I won MasterChef Junior.
So wait, you met President Obama before you won MasterChef?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I just assumed it was because you won and then you happened to be like at the right place at the right time and they're like, oh, let's go, you know, meet the Obamas.
No, it was a recipe that I made for the first ever kids state dinner, so I got to go and I made like a tuna quinoa salad and a little pepper boat. And then I got to go and win for the state of Tennessee, and then I got to go to the first ever kids' state dinner. They came around, and that was really great.
Oh, wow. So before we get into your whole background and everything with cooking, you know, I just got to let you know, my wife wishes that she was here to be a part of this interview, Melissa, and she just loves your bow ties.
Thank you. Almost all of them are handmade, just like the one that I'm wearing today, all made by my godmother. And I have a few other ones that I like a lot.
Oh, wow. So what started the whole bow tie thing for you?
Well, surprisingly enough, it was my godmother's wedding that I wore my first bow tie. And then, surprisingly enough, she made every single one of that you've seen on the show. And almost all of the ones that you see me wearing right now.
Now, does she have a business or something, or is she just doing it for fun?
No, she just really just kind of got together, got the little pattern down, cut out the bow ties, and we were ready to go.
Oh, it seems like she missed out on a perfect opportunity. You're on TV wearing these bow ties.
Well, so some of the fabric, like there was only like one piece of a certain fabric, so it's not like there's like the first bow tie that I wore on the show with all the kitchen utensils, there's like only that scrap of fabric left.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it worth more. One of a kind.
But I do wear bow ties limited from Vermont. They're really good, and I have a few of their bow ties. They're really nice.
Let's get started about your background. You know, when did you start cooking and then go from there?
All right, so I started cooking when I was 2. Made morning coffee and then picked in a blanket and then like deviled eggs and stuff like that. And then helping out at dinner, steak, seafood, stuff like that. Then I made my, then I got to Jif and then I got to go to New York and that was really fun and got a bunch of money. That was also really good. And then I made my spice rub, Logan's Rub, and I have a new line, a new one that I just made. I have like 3 Logan's Rubs. There's the Fiesta blend, which I've perfected. And then I have the Bombay blend, which I just came up with like 2 days ago. And then I have the Memphis blend, which is pretty much done. And then I also have, out of those lines, then I have the good egg, which is a bunch of egg seasonings. One of those is perfect, and then I have a few others that still need some more work.
Well, that was a pretty quick rundown of how you got from cooking to today to today.
Yeah, that's really only half of it.
Well, who got you started into cooking?
But my mom really got me into the kitchen and really made the kitchen a safer place for me.
Yeah, I mean that being as a kid, I mean, how old were you when you started?
Two.
You know, yeah, it's definitely hard to make a kitchen a safe place when kitchens is probably second to bathrooms, you know, showers for most dangerous places. So that's, I mean, that's awesome that she was able to do that for you and help propel you to where you are today. Well, that and bow ties. At what age did you start taking it a lot more seriously?
Well, around 8. That's really when I did the GIF, and that's when I made all the spice blends, which I just told you about. And then from there I got to go to the first ever Kid State dinner, and I got to meet the Obamas, and that was really great. And then from there, then I got to MasterChef Junior, and I won that. And here I am today doing all these interviews and podcasts and things like this.
Now, has this all gotten in the way of being a kid, do you feel?
No, I still have my friends. They really don't think of it that much.
Well, that's good. It's good that you have friends that aren't like gushing over it and making a bigger deal, especially since you can't really go out and get other friends because you're still in school, you know? It's not like, oh, I'll just become friends because I'll just get my car and become friends with people from other, you know, towns and stuff like that.
Well, I do have a few friends, but it's not that hard. I'm homeschooled, so it's just me, and so it means that I can do a lot of these weekday things like this and still do school and other things.
Wow. See, I was going to ask you if you were on spring break because right now it's 3 o'clock my time. It's probably what, 2 your time?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So do you take part in being homeschooled? Do you take part in any other extracurricular activities?
Yeah, I do a lot of like soccer, sports, let's see, rock climbing. I'm really good at laser tag. I beat my dad the last 50 times I've been there. And yeah, I've been very gotten very, very, very good at laser tag.
Yeah, too bad we
And
can't get you a contract for that.
well, there are some laser tag tournaments, but I've never found them. I mean, they're all like far away.
So, how did your family react when you started this whole cooking thing, and especially when you got started at the age of 2 wanting to cook, but then when you started taking it a lot more seriously at the age of 8?
Well, they really helped me do my passion and really, really encouraged me. Like today, I could say, "Oh, I'm totally done with food. I'm no longer gonna do any more food." And they'd be like, "All right, well, what are you gonna do now?" And I could say, "Oh, I'm gonna engineer new coffee makers or something crazy like that."
And they just support whatever you're going to do.
Pretty much.
That's awesome. I mean, I hope you realize how fortunate you are to have parents that are like that, 'cause not everybody gets that ability. Though going back to friends, have you become close friends with anybody from the show?
Well, yeah, we all keep in touch through the social media, and there's nobody else in like Memphis, so I never really like meet too many of them. They're all like Texas, and that's pretty far away, or Chicago, and that's another pretty good drive. And so everywhere they are is just a long drive.
It's funny how that they bring all these kids together for a show, right? And at the same time, you guys all have this like super deep passion for cooking. And it's probably I mean, I would imagine it's way deeper than like who's the most passionate person that you know about cooking? Outside of yourself, obviously.
That's a really tough question. I would say that almost everybody's really, really passionate about cooking on the show and in a restaurant, unless they're like totally hate the restaurant. But otherwise, like if you're going to be in the food industry, it's going to be pretty happy.
Now, what would you say is the biggest roadblock that you've hit and had to overcome?
Really understanding that you've got to come up with the recipes, and you've got to come up with the ideas. Like you've got to come up with like the new things that there's only like three actual pictures of on the internet. And you've got to really come up with those kind of things.
Do you run into any fear that you might, you know, dry up your well of ideas?
No, there's always new ideas. You can never really dry up wells of ideas. It just doesn't happen. It's like, oh wow, I don't know what to do now. And then like a new cooking technique comes up, and you're like, oh, I can do this now and that now and this now. And so no, you can never really exhaust your ideal pool.
I love that outlook. I know that, I mean, to me, that's always a fear of like creativity, where I'm going to wake up one day and it's just not going to be there anymore. It's just going to be disappeared, and I'm going to be like not knowing like what step to take next, you know, in whatever project I'm working on. But I love that your outlook is so positive of, you know what, there's always going to be a new way, a new technique, something is going to spark that in me.
Yeah, pretty much. And even if you do like totally exhaust all of your ideas by some miraculous feat, there's way more industries than just the food industry. So then you can go all the way to the engineering or to the astronaut or basically anywhere.
There's a lot to be said, I think, for children and you know, growing up with a passion or a hobby that has so much detail to it, like cooking, like kids that grow up like me, where I was into like computers and programming and stuff like that, where the details really mattered. And I think it's awesome that you are like, you know what, I could, you know, parlay how I think about things into something totally different that has nothing to do with cooking at all.
Well, yeah, in the same way is that you're still working on the same little details. Like, whether or not there's always going to be that little tiny bit that isn't quite right, and in a recipe or in anything, and then you need to go and fix that.
So, yeah, I mean, so to me, it's all about the thought process, right? Breaking down, like, the piece by piece. What is it that is causing the problem, and how you could go about fixing it in a method.
Well, in cooking, it's not about fixing a problem, really. It's more about adding something. There's always an intricate level of something that, like, the rub needs. Like, something that you totally don't think about, and then you have to add. But it's really, really more about what intricate level of something that the spice rub needs. And usually it's something that you never, ever really think about.
Now, on the show, it seemed pretty much down to the wire, especially in the finale, with you basically being able to eke it out to get the win. I think what your plates and everything, I mean, I think it was just amazing, you know, just to be at that level, regardless, you know, win or lose. All of your peers were phenomenal. What was probably the most difficult thing for you with the show?
Well, the most difficult thing about the show is really understanding that at certain points, it's kind of okay to mess up a little bit. As long as your mess up isn't as bad as everybody else's mess up. That's one of the key things. But when it comes down to like the finale or the top four or the top six, you mess up, there's really no way to then like prove yourself like on the next challenge to be like, oh wow, there's no redo.
Yeah, I mean, because the measure or the margin for error is just tiny. Because everybody else is so, you know, so dialed in at that point. And it really showed. And I think it's interesting that you bring that up, because of some of the contestants who messed up during the challenges. It just was shocking that they would mess up, you know, on some things that's like where it came down to like time management.
Well, one of the things is that you're under so much pressure that the pressure kind of makes it easier to mess up in a way.
For you, personally, was an hour and a half tough to finish the finale?
No, it really went really smoothly for me on most levels. Like, unless I burn something or something breaks, then I'm pretty good. But I think that yeah, an hour and 30 minutes was plenty of time for me to get done what I needed to do.
Now, you cooked the fish. I don't recall the name of the dish. But
yeah.
you said you had never cooked that before, did you? Or was thing was one was it one time?
Well, the thing about the stone crusted branzino is I've never used a branzino before. But I have salt crusted fish. So the key thing about salt crusting is that you're making it its own tandoori oven so that it can like steam itself and bake itself at the same time, which is really kind of crazy when you think about it.
Honestly, the whole thing seems crazy. I mean, Logan, just to remind everybody, how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
And when you were on the show, you were?
11.
11. Wow. Does it seem like forever ago at this point?
Well, it kind of, in a way. Because winning the show was only about like 2 or 3 months ago. But the taping of the show was a long, long time ago. Like, really long.
You know, how was it trying to keep the secret away from everybody?
Well, the kind of the thing about that is if you spill the beans, then you got to pay $1 million to the show. And then you kind of don't win. They take all your prize money and they kind of forfeit in a way. So you really got to keep the secret.
Wow, yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, even an 11-year-old understands that $1 million is a lot of money. Have you gotten to meet a lot of celebrities since winning?
Yeah. The chefs are really nice here in Memphis, and the chefs all over the world are really nice. It's just kind of the nature of a chef is to be really nice, and they understand that I can't like suddenly open a restaurant, steal their entire concept, steal all of their recipes, and make more money. They just know that I can't do that. Just because I can't manage people, I can't open a restaurant. I just can't.
At your age, it's definitely not feasible. But as you get older, you know it will be feasible, and it'll definitely be something that you'll be able to do. Having this kind of success now in your life, you have a better understanding of how to treat people, especially going forward, and you'll learn a lot of lessons like that now rather than waiting till you're, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old and having to learn those lessons where they cost you a lot of money, you know, mistreating people the wrong way or something to that effect.
Yeah. But I don't really know if that's, it takes a lot of skills, and I don't know. I could just be a chef or I could go the entire other direction.
Well, I mean, with the restaurant, you got to be there every day, man. Super early.
And you have to manage the people. You have to make the health people happy so that you're not like making anybody sick. And then you actually have to take the rent on the property, and you've got to pay for the food. You've got to keep the food costs. You got to keep the customers happy, and you've got to make sure that your wait staff is nice, and that your staff really isn't taking any money out of the register.
It sounds like you know somebody that works in the restaurant business.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to a lot of chefs, you really kind of learn the in and out of the business and about how, oh, wow, I really didn't know that there was all of this involved with opening a restaurant.
A question that I asked Andrew Zappley from season 3 is how much he believes YouTube has played, and the internet as a whole has played a part of the success in cooking for him. How do you feel it's helped you?
Well, YouTube is a very good place, and so is social media. It keeps everybody kind of glued together, makes the world a lot smaller for good and bad, and it can teach you a lot in like 3 minutes. If you can't learn it off of YouTube, you can't learn it. And it's just kind of how it goes.
Would you say the same thing about school?
Well, if you can't really learn it in school, then you can learn it off of YouTube. But if you can't learn it off of YouTube, then it's just impossible.
Well, you know, to me, it's just interesting because, you know, YouTube it's something that I didn't have growing up. And only really... Your generation has it while you're growing up to have access to all these videos of like, hey, how do I plate food or how do I make X? Where it's like before, you know, my generation and you know, b- before me had to know somebody who knew how to plate food or buy a book.
Yeah, you had to like read the book, you had to follow the steps in the book, you had to memorize the book, or you had to know somebody who knew how to do it, and who, that's just kind of how it goes. In one way, YouTube is extremely helpful, and it like can teach you anything, like cooking. Immediately you can go from like 0 to about a 5 in cooking just off of YouTube. And then the YouTube kind of gets a bit small because people you can't believe everything you see on the internet. and just for that reason, that's the one problem with YouTube is you don't know whether or not people are legit. But for the most part, it works.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I mean, it's easy to portray something as truth, and it's really not. You know, if you edit a video or make yourself look bigger than you actually are. But I mean, obviously, I'm talking to the real deal here because you got the awards to back it up and the amazing food to go along with it. Do you have any other child? I mean, usually I ask on the show what my guest's childhood dream was. In your case, you are still a child. Or teenager, preteen, I don't know, something like that.
Around there, somewhere.
I think that sounds better than tween.
Yes, much better. childhood dream, that's a pretty tough one. If you want to know one of my most realistic ones, is that I would open, I wasn't gonna open a lemonade stand. No. Lemonade's too easy. I was gonna open up a coffee stand. And I was gonna open up this coffee stand, and I was gonna have an espresso machine, and the milk, and the coffee maker, and I would run extension cords all over the place, and I would have a coffee stand. That's probably the closest one that actually came close to happening.
Well, what's your favorite coffee?
I really like all the coffee. It's all great. there's no like really horrible coffee in the world. It really really fast food coffee, but even that's good when you forget to make it.
Wait, how long have you been drinking coffee?
I would say about 4.
Oh, wow.
From there.
That's all right. Yeah. A friend of mine, they let their, I think she's like 3, drink coffee. And you know what? She mellows out after she drinks it.
Yes, I know. It's not one of those things that I'm like bouncing off the walls. It just doesn't happen.
So, Logan, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Probably a cooking show. That's really, really the closest reachable thing, since a restaurant is kind of not really going to happen. But I could probably make a cooking show work.
I think so too. I think that a cooking show would be a lot easier than trying to run a whole restaurant and do the balancing act that's needed for that. Because the kids show up and you make something fabulous and that's it. You know, you don't have to. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go into it and a lot of long hours. But it's a different world.
It's just not realistic. It's just really not realistic, but I think that I could pull off a cooking show and pretty much just keep doing this kind of stuff, keep my social media running, try to keep my YouTube channel running, which is kind of like a mini cooking show, only it's not really on TV.
But you know what? In a lot of cases, that doesn't matter. YouTube is huge, and in a lot of cases, it's more powerful than TV.
I don't know. I still like the TV. I still like TV.
Well, you'll get there.
But there's a reason why they call it YouTube.
just keep doing it, man. Don't stop, like you're saying. Just keep doing it, and people will notice. And over time, you very well might wind up with your own, TV show, because the TV needs more bow ties.
Yeah, I might run out by then.
Well, you just gotta keep it going, man. Don't fade away from it. That's the thing. Consistency. So, Logan, is there any last thoughts that you'd like to share before we plug how everyone can connect with you and keep up with what you're on?
One of the key things is that you need to remember is that some of your dreams can be achieved. Like, another one of my dreams that I didn't tell you about, I really wanted to meet Gordon Ramsay, but I already met him. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the cool dreams that came true.
Have you seen him since?
Yes, I have. It's just kind of cook with your heart, put yourself on the plate, and that cooking is a lot like artwork. And there's the art of the sauce, and there's the artistry of really cooking. And there's still the sciencey part, and you've got to love both sides.
I don't know much about cooking. I leave that up to my wife. But I have a deep appreciation for the art of it and the it all being in the details. So I do appreciate it, even though it's just not something that I'm onto. Maybe when I get older, maybe when I grow up, I'll turn into a chef like you.
Maybe. I don't know.
Logan, I would love for you to plug your websites, your YouTube channel, your Twitter handle.
All right, here's the magic is I somehow got it all into one name, Logan Jr. Chef. Somehow I got the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the YouTube channel, all Logan Jr. Chef. I don't know how I did that, but... And the blog is orderupwithlogan@blogspot.com.
Awesome. Oh, I will have those in the show notes at howtodream.co so everyone can find them and connect with you. You know, I've loved having you on the show. It's been a lot of fun. I would love to have you on again in like 6 months to a year and catch up on how you've been and what you've been up to. And
yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome. Great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time again, Logan.
Yes, thank you. I still don't know how I got all my social media to one name.
Well, you're a marketing genius, obviously.
It's really creepy is when you switch names on your Instagram, and then immediately after you switch names, somebody steals your old name, and you're just like, it's kind of creepy.
Well, there's a lot of people out there. I mean, in fact, it's funny you mentioned that. Last night, I just switched my Twitter handle to @JoeSPardo, away from @DreamersPodcast. But what I did was I created a separate account, and I swapped the names so that I kept the @DreamersPodcast. It's just a dummy account that says, hey, go to JoeSPardo. And that's what I did, and it took a little bit to do it because they, you know, page loading and stuff, but... Yeah, I'm glad that you had the foresight to know. Now, what are you going to do when you're not a junior chef?
Well, then I'll address that problem when it comes up.
You just change your name to, like, Little Logan or something, you know? And then you'll always just be Little Logan.
Wait, what if I'm not little anymore?
Hey, Little Wayne ain't little.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. That's about it.
Well, you know, again, it's been a great time, Logan.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast.
Yes, thank you.
Follow us on Twitter @DreamersPodcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.